Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Culture is disintegrating.
Pass the salt. Hey,
but we like to
pass
share the gospel
salt.
Without any backbone.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're
seemingly
jellyfish.
Outrageous
pass the salt, will you?
Expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, good morning. I'm just kind of sitting here when we, you know, I think I know what I'm going to talk about, but when that live button comes on my computer, it's like all of a sudden everything starts shaking and I want to go a different direction. And I'm honored you would join us here on January 24th, 2017. As I always say, Lord's not making another one. And thanks for getting up this morning and joining us. I can't go any further without making a point. Boy, these lights are bright. I've adjusted them. Makes that tooth look even whiter. I got to figure out what to do with that. Makes the rest of my teeth look yellow. They're not that bad. I got me a fakey one there. I just want to honor my wife this morning. Just want to honor my wife. You know, all these men that were in our house this weekend, that sounds awful to say all these men. The guys who came and went to Washington, D.C. with us, many of them, our home was a gathering place. They flew in, drove in. And, you know, my wife, Michelle, she's cool with it. She loves what I do. Let me stop a second. Ladies, your men can't be men unless you let them be men. Your men can't be men unless you come alongside them and help them be men. And that's what my wife has done. She's come alongside me and helped me be a man and helped the guys around me be men. And those of the guys who were here know that from the time they walked into the door till the time they left, my wife was serving. Not because she's under my thumb and I make her, but because she's a Proverbs 31 woman. She understands what it means to be a godly woman. She understands what it means to serve. And she supports her husband. She fixed breakfast and lunch and snacks and food and made beds and unmade beds and never complained a second about it. And then yesterday when I got home on Monday, I didn't really get to see her much because we were going all weekend. And Monday, yesterday, she goes out, substitute teaches, goes to a pregnancy health center. She does what are those things called? Pregnancy health help center. She goes there and counsels women till about 8:30 and comes rolling in the house last night. I didn't even get to spend any time with her. And I'm thinking, man, I just thinking how much I loved her. Just told her that last night, how much I loved her. And the fact that the two of us working together. See, if we can get to that point in our marriages, in our lives, where we are working together, two becoming one, man, it's an unbreakable force. I pray every day for her health, for her strength, for her mental peace of mind. And I just want to acknowledge publicly, those of you who are here, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. And I go to Washington, D.C., and I watch those scandalous women walking up and down the streets. And I just look at all of them and say, man, you know, if you could just be like my wife, if you could just embrace being a woman, my. So, you know, a lot going on. We're kind of in a, what would be the word I would use? We're in a debriefing mode still. The stuff is playing through my head, stuff that I saw, stuff that's going on, stuff that Trump is doing, the reaction, everything. And the reality, again, of the condition of the American family is just became apparent to us this weekend. But I also notice a lot of things. When we were in D.C., I dived right in. It's, you know, it's what I do. I've been out on the street doing street ministry since the day I started. I want to credit Mark Harrington. He really kind of got me going in 2002, took me under his wing and showed me what it meant. First time I ever went street ministering, I went with Mark Harrington. He invited me to go to Ohio State University on the campus of Ohio State University, set up the abortion pictures and do street ministry. I'd never done it. He said, well, just come with me and just stand behind me and watch. And, you know, you don't have to say anything. Just watch and you'll get a good feel. for what's going on. And that first time I was there and all these college students coming up and they see the abortion pictures and they're all mad, I listened for about a minute and 15 seconds, and I knew exactly what to do. It just came up outside. The spirit of truth will come up inside of you if you're born again. If you're born again, that spirit of truth, that baby is always there, man. The Lord said he'd never leave. He said he'd never forsake you. And it took, as I said, about a minute and 15 seconds to understand these people don't know anything. See, if you're not standing on truth, or let me reverse it. If you are standing on truth, the foolishness of the world's arguments fall apart. They just fall apart. You can hear the foolishness of, you can hear a woman say to you, as I saw over and over and over, my body, my choice. And I just start screaming. Inside, I start screaming of that. What foolishness that is. What foolishness it is. But see, unless you're born again of the Spirit of God and have died to yourself, that you've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless, you're still alive, but it's not you that's alive anymore. It's Christ that's living in you. Once that happens to you, you can hear those arguments and understand the foolishness of them. My body, my choice. What does that even mean? You can't choose to do what you want to do with your body. We know that. And how about this? It's not your body. So those things become clear to us. And I don't get terribly frustrated when I'm watching, when I'm out on the streets, because I used to think like them. I used to be lost. Wait a minute. I used to consider myself a Christian. I didn't even know what it means. I was raised Catholic. I didn't become born again until I was 37 years old. And I was in church, in and out of church my whole life. I had no idea what it meant to be born again. I didn't even know what that meant. I didn't know what it meant to be saved. If somebody would come up to me and ask me if I was going to go to heaven, I probably never even thought about it. I'd probably answer what everybody said. Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. And I started out in a church where it was a prosperity gospel was part of everything that was going on there. Name it, claim it. Good gospel, but always applied to me. When I left the church, it was about me. And it wasn't until I went out on the streets, actually until I got sued by the American Civil Liberties Union, that I realized that there was something greater in this gospel than just me. And what was greater in that gospel was the empowerment that came into me as a result of being born again. And I also, this is kind of, not supposed to say these kind of things. I received the baptism in the Holy Spirit shortly thereafter. I did. With the evidence, with the ability to speak in tongues. I received that. I have that gift. And so much of the church world wants to deny that that's out there. And you'll read some of these guys, and I know a lot of guys. I know a lot of pastors. I have friends who are pastors who don't believe in tongues, speaking in tongues. They don't believe in it. And I don't even know how to argue with them, because I said, listen, brother, this happened to me. And are you going to look at me and tell me that I'm of the devil? That the devil's now inside me? Are you going to tell me that? You follow me around and you watch the gospel stuff that I do and you tell me that if I speak in tongues, it's the devil? Are you kidding me? What? See, I'm not a charismaniac. A charismaniac is a guy who speaks in tongues and name it, claim it, and blab it and grab it and all. That's a charismaniac, and they're no earthly good to anybody because they're always having dreams and visions and the Lord said this to me and let me my hands and let me prophesy on you. All this stuff I'm not one of those guys. But I'm going to tell you something. When the Holy Spirit came inside me, I remember I was already saved. Let's go there. Let's go to Acts real quick, Jared. Thank you, Lord. I'm coming back to something else. I don't even know how I got on this, okay? I'm just going to show you. Let's go to Acts chapter 1, Jared. Pull that up there for me, and I'm looking for something else here. Bear with me just a second. As I wasn't prepared. Anybody want to say anything while I'm looking here?
Yeah, while you're looking, I just want to say, don't be surprised out there, folks. Sinners are supposed to act like sinners.
They are, brother. They are supposed to act like sinners. And so with those of us who have receive Christ, read the power of the Holy Spirit, man, oh man, we're supposed to become brand new creatures. I'm going to find that here in a second. I haven't. Jared, throw up there real quickly. Um, mm. Oh, I wish I could just listen. Rather than throwing it up here, I'm gonna take you through something here. I'm gonna show you. I'm in the book of Acts. Okay, go to Acts chapter 1, Jared. Throw it up there real quickly. Let you see this, guys. I don't know what this means. Understand that Jesus is speaking to his apostles. He's speaking to the apostles. He's speaking to believers. I believe when you get born again, you receive the Holy Spirit. I believe you receive the Holy Spirit when you get born again. But I want you to see something that for me, chapter 1, the former treatise have I made, O Theopolis, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up, and after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Remember, I talk a lot about the kingdom of God, and there's evidence that Jesus was alive for 40 days after the resurrection. They all saw him. Jesus told them, it's expedient that I go away. I got to leave, because if I go, I'm going to send another one, the comforter, and he's going to be, he who was standing with you is not going to be in you, and everywhere you go, I'm going to be able to go, that you're now the church, the vessel that carries the Holy Spirit. Verse 4, and being assembled together with them, who's he with? His disciples. He commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you've heard of me. For John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. These are saved guys. These are saved guys. Stay with me. Verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father hath put into his power. Watch, verse 8, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me in both Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth. My goodness. Oh, my goodness. Chapter 2, Jared. Let's go there real quickly. I think it's important we see. Hey, guys, I ain't religious. I ain't religious. I'm not going to go into some church and have somebody tell me that what I know is real and my life isn't real. I'm not going to do that. Verse 2, or chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. These are saved men. These are saved men. They're all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. My goodness. I'm flipping through my Bible because I'm going to call you up another one, Jared. Listen, I don't know about you. My power came when I received the Holy Spirit. I'm looking for something. Doesn't matter. Listen. Here, hey, Jared, go to 4:29. Acts 4:29. Am I doing okay today, fellas? Huh? I got a hold of an otherworldly power. I've got a hold of an otherworldly power.
Hey Dave, them women at the march have been baptized in the evil ghost.
Brother, hey Rich, this is the spiritual war that we're seeing, right? There's a spiritual war. They have been baptized with, as Rich said, the evil ghost. There is something else that is controlling them. And Rich, you said it yesterday. When we took our place on that island, when all of those people were around us, we were like a big donut hole. We were surrounded by all those women and all that evil. We never yielded our space. They had us outnumbered 400,000 to 12 or 15, and we never yielded our space. You know why? Because we had the Holy Ghost, not the evil ghost. We had the Holy Ghost. Now, watch this. Wow. I'm looking down here. I don't even know where to start, but I'm going to start in 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they prayed, you ready, Rich? The place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Wow. Mm. Power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb and the Holy Ghost. Oh, my man. Hey, let's go back. I'm sorry. I got goosebumps. I got to go back. Jared, let's stay right there. Let's go to verse 12, Jared. Verse 12 there of Acts. Slide back down there a little bit. Then I'm going to get on to where I'm going. Could make it some of you nervous probably. Verse 11. This is a stone which is set at naught of your builders, which has become the head of the corner. Verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we might be saved. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. It wasn't they had been with Jesus. They had Jesus inside of them. That boldness was coming up inside of them. And I believe a lot of men in particular, a lot of women, a lot of folks in our world, they don't have that boldness. They don't have that boldness because where is it, Lord? I got to find it. Oh, look at this. Verse 5 of chapter 6. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. You get in the book of Acts, and you just go through here, and you start underlining the things that it's talking about the Holy Ghost. Because the book of Acts is when the church became filled with the Spirit of God. That's what happened in the book of Acts. It came off of the pages, and it came into the heart of men. And he gets together with, Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers of Israel, the elders of the people, blah, 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 filled with the Holy Ghost. And then he goes to the disciples. I'm trying to find it now. Somebody's probably smarter than me. Where he goes to them and said, have you guys received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said, what? We never even heard of that. What are you talking about? Trying to find where that is so I can show that to you as well. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? What? Oh, there it is. No. Okay. Anybody want to piggyback on that? Anybody got anything to say about that? Not charismania. That's not what I'm talking about. Not name it, claim it, blab it, and grab it. I'm talking about the power over demons, the power to heal, the power to speak truth, the power to have boldness. That only comes from the Holy Ghost. Yes, Sarah?
I was just going to say, when I was admitted into the hospital this week for this burn, Steve prayed over me. He, too, has that gift.
Mm-hmm.
And the preacher walked in from the emergency room and smiled and looked at Steve and said, oh, you're speaking in Greek. You're Greek, yes? Because I've heard that prayer before. You know, but he was speaking with the Holy Spirit to heal me.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Amen. See, and sadly, this really, really, really divides.
Yeah.
It really divides. And I'm sorry that it does, but it does. I'm still looking at it. It's all over the place. Acts 8:15. Jared, let's go to Acts 8:15. Hope I'm not boring any of you. I'm gonna know I spoke the truth to you, okay?
Jared, you said this really divides.
Yeah.
You probably said this 50 times, but I hadn't heard it. No, I hadn't registered if you did. Truth. Jesus says, I am truth. Jesus says, I came to divide. Truth divides. Any truth divides.
It does, brother. It does. I'm in Acts 15, Acts 8:15. Okay. Now when the apostles were, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, verse 15, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. I'm going to stop right there. Because there are people in the Christian world that are going to say to you, well, this ceased. This ceased. So these guys, they needed the power in the first century, but we don't need it here in the 21st century. Standing on that plot of ground out there in Washington, D.C., we didn't need the Holy Ghost then. Only these guys needed it. Wake up, man. Wake up. And 15, let's do it again. Who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Look, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. When Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he tried to buy it. He was like, give me some of that. What's that cost? I want some of that. No, no, baby. It's a free gift.
Mm. Hey,
yes.
You know, I don't think it's any coincidence that what you were just talking about, the laying on the hands and receiving the Holy Ghost, gee whiz, is it just a coincidence that happens to be one of the six fundamental things that's mentioned in Hebrews 6, 1 and 2?
That would not be, huh? Huh? That would not, Larry. Wait a minute, I'm Googling something here because I got to show you. I want you to believe me. Believe the Bible, not me. It is in Acts 19:2. Is that what it says? Acts 19:2? Is it that far back, Jared? Yeah, think about this. These guys have been fighting without the Holy Spirit. Look at Acts 19:2. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. These are already believers. They've already been baptized. He said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Do you get that? There's believing and then receiving the Holy Ghost. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, what? We have not so much as even heard. What are you talking about, boy? And he said unto them, oh, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, well, unto John's baptism. It said, Paul, John baptized you with baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that you should believe on him which is to come after him, that is on Jesus Christ. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then Paul, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Boy. I just had to throw that out there because I'm telling you, I was filled with the Holy Ghost Saturday. I was filled with it. I was filled with it. And no fear. Absolutely no fear at all. Why? Because I was empowered from inside me. And hear me, my baptism in the Holy Spirit came after my salvation. They were not the same experience. I can tell you, the night I walked out of that church, I filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Got a quiet crew here today. I'm just telling you the truth. You go sit in that old dead church. You sit in that old dead church and you don't have the ability to leave that old dead church of yours and go out on the streets to the highways and the byways and compel men to come to Christ. You don't have any ability to be able to do that. And you know why you don't? Because the guy standing in your pulpit tells you there isn't any such thing as being filled with the Holy Ghost. It's one of the greatest lies the devil's ever taught us. The Bible says you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. You shall be witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, and to the uttermost parts of the world. Salvation and the infilling of the Holy Spirit are not the same thing. I'm in John 3. I'm sorry this has turned in such a Bible study, but this is critical. Because I go a lot of places with a lot of people, and I will tell you, we don't know how to share the gospel. We have so We have so mechanized the gospel, formulized the gospel. The average person doesn't know how to do it. You take the average man sitting in your church, and I can tell you this, he doesn't have any idea how to minister. He doesn't have any idea how to share the gospel. Rich, we could have taken churches full of people out onto that sidewalk, and they would have been crushed because they would have had no idea what to say or how to respond. You know what they would have given them, Sarge? They would have given them the love gospel. And they already know that. We're told everywhere we look. Everywhere you go, we're told that God loves us. They all whip. Hey, those homosexuals think God loves them. Those trans, whatever they're called, they know God loves them. Everybody knows God loves them. God loves everybody. God loves everybody. And so the average Christian, see, there were people walking in that parade who say they're Christians. And we're not Christians because we don't love. And they're Christians because they love everybody but us. Right? Everybody but us. And so as we continue to move in this, I'm talking to a lot of people out there who are watching me right now. I'm going to tell you something. Your pastor's lied to you. If your pastor told you that tongues have ceased, he's lying to you. Okay, let's go there. Let's go there. Jared, I'm sorry. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. Am I doing okay? Is it all right with
Amen.
You guys?
Amen. Huh?
I'm just going to try to set you as free as I can. That's all I want to do. The love verse, right? 1 Corinthians chapter, is that 13? 1 Corinthians 13? Yeah, that's it. Yep, spiritual gifts. Hey, see, first, if we would just read the daggone Bible in context, if we just wouldn't pull out the love verse, but if we would read verse 12, it's all about spiritual gifts. Verse 12 is all of it. Christ being the head, then about spiritual gifts, and then you get past 13, and then it's talking more about the first fruits, Christ. This is a pattern across there, and we get to 1 Corinthians 13. Here's what happens to us. Let me see, Jared. We know if I had the tongues of angels, yada, 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 and we know all of it. I'm not going to read down through it. I'm going to start verse 8. Charity never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For now we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then we will see that part shall be done away. Now, well, hang on. Let's go back here a minute. Charity, love never fails. Have prophecies as prophecies. Verse 8, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. So prophecies fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Does that say they did cease? They did cease or they shall cease? Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Hey, Sarge, has knowledge disappeared? Michael, have we lost knowledge? There's no knowledge? Has knowledge disappeared? Vanished away? No, just the tongues did. Just the tongues. They vanished away. Huh? Oh, man. Paul goes on to say, we'll do a study on this later when I'm more prepared. Paul said, I speak in tongues more than y'all. Anybody want to say something here before I shift gears?
I was talking to the guys earlier before the show. This is a piece out of a book called Orthodoxy and the Religion of the Future. And it's so apropos that we got to share it. It says, within many mainline Christian churches, there is a strong and determined movement to reimagine the Christian faith along the lines of radical feminist theology, neo-pagan goddess worship, and the New Age worldview. In 1993, the first reimagining conference was held in Minneapolis in conjunction with the World Council of Churches. The conference was attended by over 2,000 participants, and the mainline denominations were predominantly Presbyterian, Methodist, Lutheran, Roman Catholic, United Church of Christ, and American Baptist. And it goes on to say that the conference speakers rejected at times and ridiculed the Christian dogmas of the Holy Trinity, the fall of man, the unique incarnation of God in Jesus Christ, and the redemption of man by Christ's death on the cross. In place of these articles of faith, the conference promoted pantheism, shamanism, and homosexual rights. The participants took part in a liturgy where milk and honey were served instead of bread and wine, and the goddess Sophia was worshipped rather than Jesus Christ. The chant was repeated, "Our maker, Sophia, we are women in your image. With our warm body fluids, we remind the world of its pleasure and sensations." That's why the church was there Saturday. But it was, guess who that church is? It's not the Church of Jesus Christ.
No, it isn't, brother. It isn't. Amen, yep. Sarge. And that's what they've done to us. Let me throw this out there real quick because I just got prompted by the Holy Spirit. You don't have to speak in tongues to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You don't have to speak in tongues. That's a real trip up for some people. That's a real trip up. And when we gather again, we're going to lay hands on each other that we'd receive the Holy Spirit. We're going to do that. We need to be empowered from on high, okay? We need to be. In fact, you know this, Chris just put this down here, caught my eye. You know when Jesus began his earthly ministry? Jesus began his earthly ministry when he was baptized. And what fell on him? Coming down from heaven, what fell on him? The dove. It's one of only two times in all of Scripture. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are there. The Father's there. This is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased. This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. Jesus is in the water, and the Holy Spirit shows up. It's only one of two times in all Scriptures that all three are present at the same time. We cannot win this battle without the infilling and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. See, they try to marginalize and they make it all about tongues and how tongues are given and this isn't done in order and that isn't done in order. That isn't even what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the empowerment from on high. Somebody's trying to click in here.
Coach, one of the things is that we get into knowledge all of the time where, you know, we expand this and we expand that in knowledge because we know this. And people can quote the Bible. They can recite all of these verses and everything else. But it's not in knowledge. It's in your relationship with God. And that is done on a personal level with the Holy Spirit leading you into all truth. But it's your communication with the Father. Just like Jesus walked and he was always in communication with the Father. He was showing us it isn't how much you know, it's how close you are to God. And if we don't take the Bible to study what God is or how God is, we're there to know him. And if it isn't a personal relationship and knowing him, then you're just clanging cymbals and all the other stuff that Paul talks about because it's too much knowledge, head knowledge. It's not from your heart and your worship in spirit and truth.
So this, it started out with, somebody want to jump in? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that the book of John, first chapter, verse 12, it says it pretty clearly. You know, you talked about salvation and the baptism of the Holy Spirit is two different things. The book of John says that as many as received him, talking about Jesus, to them, who's the them? The ones that received him, says to them he gave the right, privilege, power, or authority, depending on how that next word is translated, to become children of God. It doesn't say receiving Jesus makes you a child of God. It says receiving Jesus then empowers you to become a child of God. Mm-hmm. Not everybody is a child of God.
Amen, brother. Now listen to me. You don't know me before I was saved. You don't know me. I would have never, 25 years ago, taken a, what would you say, controversial position. I would never publicly, I'd have never done it. I learned that from my dad. Keep your mouth shut and lay low. I'd have never done it. And then something happened. I got filled with the Holy Spirit, and I got transformed to now, you can't deny this. Those of you who are with us, the power, the bold power that comes over me when I open my mouth, that is otherworldly. That ain't me. It ain't me. And I want all of you to have that. I want all of you. I don't want all of you to be me, but I want all of you to have that power. Because see, for the most part, we don't really rely on the Holy Spirit. We really don't. And so people are hesitant to go out and share the gospel or go do. Do you have any idea how many people were envious of you because you had the ability to be able to do it? They may mock you. They make fun of you. But boy, they'd love to have that. They wish they had that courage to be able to go and do that. They don't understand it. That's why I say all the time, hey, don't put me on a pedestal. I'm just a body of flesh filled with the Holy Spirit. You want to give credit to the Holy Spirit, that's okay. And you say, hey, Coach, man, I saw the Holy Spirit working in you. That's good. But don't be talking about the great things that I did, because I didn't do anything except open my mouth, allow that lion inside of me roar. That's all that I did. It's like fire caught up in my bones. And if there's not fire caught up in your bones, if it doesn't feel like fire caught up in your bones, maybe you ought to ask yourself why. Why am I so mundane and bland when it comes to my faith? Why is that? Well, because you're operating in the flesh even though you don't know it. And so you go into a situation, but the average Christian guy can't even share his faith. He doesn't even know how to lead somebody to the Lord. If you were to go into your church and you were to ask people, put your hand in the air, can somebody tell me one person they led to Christ? Most of them will not raise their hand. Now, can you tell me how that can possibly be? Well, it's because we legalized it and we've mechanized it and we've made it into certain, procedures and patterns and formulas, rather than just say, hey, tell them what you know. Don't tell them what you don't know. When you get out there on the street and they're arguing with you and they say, oh, yeah, well, what about shrimp? What about eating shrimp? And what about wearing mixed cloth? Say, I don't know. Check it out. Let me tell you what I do know. Man, I was lost, and now I'm found. I used to think just like you, and now, man, I see things entirely different. Oh, yeah? Well, what do you think about the way that the church holds down women, and women aren't allowed to be female? Well, brother, I don't know about that. I'll check that out, but let me tell you what happened to me. See, this is not hard if you just let the Holy Spirit be the Holy Spirit. But they've trained us in our churches. If they've trained you at all to share the gospel, they've trained you in formulas. And so you won't go out and you won't share the gospel because you're afraid that you're not going to have the answer to one of their questions. That's it. What if they ask me this and I don't know what to say? Well, tell them what you know. Don't tell them what you don't know. And then as the more you do that, the more experienced you become, the greater you will be at sharing the truth. Sharing the truth. So you don't receive Jesus. You put him on. Say it again because you didn't get it. You don't receive him. You put him on. He dwells in you. When people see you, they see him. And so when you're out there on the street and you're in front of sinners, lost people, let that dude roar. Let that roar. We had a conversation on Saturday night after we do a little bit of debriefing about the harshness with the way which I street preach, the harshness. And I said, you know, Michael got me laughing so hard because he'd filmed one of those things. And I saw it and I said, I can't even believe I said that. I don't remember saying that. And all I tell him is this, it may sound harsh, but it was the Holy Ghost. It was the Holy Ghost speaking through me. It may not have sounded good to your ears, but the Holy Ghost knew what he was doing, and he gave me the words, as I said yesterday, to chum, to try to attract them, to try to get something out there that would attract them. See, you don't lead people to Christ by yelling at them, but you get their attention by yelling at them. Now, you don't always yell. If I wasn't at the Lesbian March for Life or March for Death, I wouldn't have been yelling. I don't go around yelling at people when I'm trying to share the gospel with them. But you attract them, and then you soften, and you share the gospel with them. It works, boys. It works. Amen?
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
But, you know, a lot of people, like a lot of Christians that come across, they say, but, Coach, you didn't yell lovingly. You weren't loving how you yelled.
I didn't. I didn't yell. I yelled in love, but I didn't yell love. Hey, right, hey Rich, right. Rich, they were preaching love, weren't they? They were the ones preaching love as they hated us, right? We're hateful.
They were baptized in the evil ghost with evidence of speaking in other tongues because there was a lot of them. I couldn't understand a word that was coming out of their mouth. And I will say this, there was a peace at this event on these men that I've never witnessed before. And that is the Holy Ghost. There's no doubt about it, because we had in physical realm, we had every reason to fear.
Oh, brother.
And man, I looked across there at them guys. I looked at Drew grinning ear to ear. I mean, the fear was gone. It was amazing.
Yeah, and you're right. Some of them just drew, and a couple of them, they just stood back and watched, right? It was like on-the-job training. They just sat back and they watched what was going on. And see, you cannot deny the boldness. And see, guys, you don't know this. When we were walking down to our spot the day before we were going to the inauguration, there were guys out there street preaching with bullhorns. And we saw that, and that was just kind of an introduction to what we were getting into. And I know this, that whether they liked it or not, or liked our tone or not, they heard the truth. They heard the truth. We planted some seeds, and they went home as rethinking their position as a result of it.
Cool. Hey, Coach, you know, my experience at the parade was totally different than you guys because I had become separated from you. You know, because of the, I felt the need that there be a car available at the end of the line at the metro station in case somebody needed to leave early. We wouldn't have to take one of the vans, and a whole bunch of people wouldn't have to pack out early.
Right.
But we were never able to meet up.
We were separated. Larry was not with us.
Yeah, our phones quit working. We couldn't communicate to get up with each other.
Right.
But you know, the Holy Spirit entered into what I was doing yesterday long before the event. If weeks before, the Holy Spirit gave me what to put on a sign, so I put a certain thing on a sign. And then 20 minutes before we left, the Holy Spirit told me to make another sign, so I grabbed the last piece of board I had, and I made a sign that used what was on your shirts to start with. You know, the truth sounds like the hate to those who hate the truth. And so I made a sign that said that. So when I was sitting there all by myself, all by my lonesome, sitting beside the major artery going down to where you guys were, over 90,000 people walked by me. I'm a mathematician. I kind of figured out how many people went by every 10 seconds. In over 2.5 hours, over 90,000 people walked by me.
Wow.
Hundreds of them took pictures of that sign that came from you. Truth sounds like hate to hate to those who hate the truth. But see, I had my other sign that the Holy Spirit had me make behind it, facing the other way. So when they took a picture, and I was sitting there with a smile on my face, and they give me a thumbs up because, see, to them, they're thinking their way is what
it is. You got it. They think they got the truth. You're right.
And they thought I was on their side, and I just smile at them. They'd nod at me. Oh, yeah, you can take a picture. And as soon as they took the picture, I'd say, and just like Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story. And I'd turn the poster around and get the other poster on the backside. And it said, the word of God applies to everyone. And then it said, Romans 1, 26 and 28. And half of them were so stupid, they gave me with a thumbs up on that. They thought that was on their side too. But some of them recognized that it was scripture I was talking about, and that repulsed them in immediately. I mean, they would actually literally take a step backwards when they noticed that the rest of the story was concerned scripture. And they would try to rush off, and I was to take a picture of this one too. I says, because this one has the truth that you think is hate. And they'd walk, and I say, you're afraid to look at the truth, aren't you?
Amen.
And walk down the road, you know? And then I'd turn my sign around, and like you said, it would honey to the flies or whatever. It would suck them in. It would draw them in, and they'd come over to the sign and go through it again. But they ran from the truth.
Larry, anybody who was there with us, and by the way, I'm proud of you to do that alone. That had to be scary. There were a bunch of us. I had a couple of big guys around me. I had Rich around me and Jared around me. I felt safe. I had the Holy Spirit, of course, too. The harshness drew flies. Do you understand that, my friends? You understand that? That the harshness of our cutting words drew flies. And we had a lot of guys who had the opportunity to then bear witness to the truth. We didn't go to get people saved. We went to lift up Jesus and to bear witness to the truth. And that's another thing that we've got messed up in the church. We think we got to go get people saved. You can't save anybody. You can't save it. The Holy Spirit saves. The Holy Spirit draws. And you have got to realize that. And so we send people out and say, I'm going to go out soul winning tonight. That's good. Go soul winning. But you ain't going to soul win. You're going to share the truth and allow the Holy Spirit to draw them to all truth. Oh boy, we got a lot to learn. You learn a lot on the streets.
You know, I always said people will never accept the truth of Jesus and the gospel if they don't first accept the truth about themselves. And when you throw that dart out there of truth at them, it may offend people. But that sissy walking by was a sissy.
He was.
I mean, come on. And you hit them, and they immediately turn. You just hooked them.
Yep, they did. We did. And so it was good. One guy preaching, and the other guy's feeding the bread when they came up. Feeding the bread. It was a very, very powerful moment. I want to play a quick video. I don't know if I'll show the whole thing. This is for those of you who maybe say they don't know how to witness. Ray Comfort did a tape, I don't know, years ago called Hell's Best Kept Secret. And I just want you to watch this, how Ray Comfort just uses the Ten Commandments to pique the conscience of people. Hell's Best Secret, Way of the Master is his website, all kinds of videos. This thing's about 7 minutes long. I don't know if I'll watch the whole thing or not. This is Ray Comfort witnessing to a Christian on his way to hell. Watch this. This is pretty good.
Just a young punk rock kid that knows what's going on.
An everlasting life is a free gift to all those who repent and trust in him.
Where are you going?
On a day of separation, good from a bad. Everybody does do bad things. I wouldn't think about it twice if somebody said I was going to a bad place, because everybody does do bad things.
Here comes a young man named Justin, who says that he knows that he is a good person, but he also wouldn't be surprised if he ended up in hell. Is he lying, or does he simply not understand the gospel? Watch and find out.
What are your thoughts on the afterlife? Do you think it exists?
Actually, I do believe it exists.
So you think there's a heaven and a hell?
I would say so if that would be the proper way to say it. I mean, if there was a heaven and a hell, if there was a way to separate a good from a bad, right from wrong, then I would say so, yeah.
You think there's going to be a day of separation, the good from the bad? Where are you going?
A day of separation, good from a bad. Everybody does do bad things. I wouldn't think about it twice if somebody said I was going to a bad place, because everybody does do bad things. But
you just said there's a possibility you could end up in hell? Is that what you're telling me?
Everybody can. I mean, if...
So where are you going to go?
I wouldn't know what to tell you. I don't know where it is, where it's for me.
Well, let's have a little test, okay?
Calling. Yes, sir.
You think you're a good person?
Yes, I know I'm a good person.
How many lies have you told in your life?
A few.
So what do you tell someone? What do you call someone who tells a few lies?
Call them a liar.
So what are you?
I'm a good liar.
Okay. Have you ever stolen something?
No.
Come on, you tell me you're a good liar.
Like,
come on, tell me. In your whole life, have you taken something that belongs to someone else, even if it's small, irrespective of its value?
Oh, well, yeah.
So what do you call someone who does that?
Thief.
Okay, so what are you?
Thief.
No, you're not. You're a lying thief. So do you still think you're a good person?
Nah, not at all.
Okay, have you ever used God's name in vain?
Yes.
Okay, do you believe God gave you life?
Yes.
And you've used his name as a cuss word to express disgust, which is called blasphemy. It's very serious in his eyes. Jesus warned every idle word that a man speaks, he'll give an account thereof on the day of judgment. So how much more using God's name as a cuss word? Now, Jesus said, if you look at a woman and lust for her, you commit adultery with her in your heart.
Yes.
Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Of course, the way America is today, sex is used as something to sell anything. So even if somebody came out with toothpaste, they'd use sex to sell it.
Okay. Have you had sex out of marriage?
Yes, I have.
That's called fornication. So here's a little summary of your case before God. By your own admission, you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous, adulterer, fornicator in God's eyes. So if he judges you by the Ten Commandments on the Day of Judgment, are you going to be innocent or guilty?
I'm going to be guilty.
Heaven or hell?
Hell's for me.
Does that concern you?
It does, in one way or another.
What are you going to do about it?
Well, I mean, as of right now, I do, you know, go to church and I do understand the word. I'm a Christian. I know everybody does say that, oh, I'm a Christian, this, that, and the other, and they don't study their ways of the word, and which is why I have gotten back into it, because I've gotten this blessing of being able to come play football at this school.
So, Justin, if you were to die right now, where would you go?
Oh, I'd go to hell. I mean, but I think...
So what's the point of being a Christian? Something's not working for me here. You've got to explain it better, or I'm going to have to explain something to you, okay?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
How can you be a Christian and ending up in hell?
You can be. It's either you ask for your forgiveness and go the right path, or you just choose and
you play the hypocrite.
Yeah.
I mean, pretending Christian. So you're not a Christian. You're like someone who pretends to have a parachute on. They look good until they jump, and then you see they've made a big mistake.
Yeah.
So, do you know what God did for guilty sinners so they wouldn't have to go to hell?
No.
Okay. 2,000 years ago, God became a human being, Jesus of Nazareth. Mm-hmm. He gave his life on the cross. He suffered on our behalf. When he was on the cross, he took the punishment that's due to you for your sins and for my sins. The sin of the world was laid upon him. He was bruised for our iniquities, the Bible says. You know the Bible verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So on the cross, he paid the fine so you could leave the courtroom. In God's eyes, you're a criminal, but Jesus paid your fine in full. That means God can legally dismiss your case because your fine was paid by another who then rose from the dead and defeated death. So what you've got to do, Justin, is repent of your sins. Okay, turn from them. Stop playing the hypocrite and trust alone in Jesus as you trust a parachute. This is your eternity. This is where you're going to spend eternity. You don't want to mess around with that. Yeah. Does this make sense what
true.
I'm saying?
This is true. Yes, sir. It does.
Okay, do you have a Bible at home?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Now, when you become a Christian, you repent, trust in Jesus, and God makes you a new person on the inside. He'll give you a love for himself. He'll make you love righteousness, which is a miracle for sinners. So instead of loving sin and being drawn to it, you'll love God and be drawn to what pleases him above all else. That's what a Christian is. So you need to make a big change. Can you see that? You need to repent and trust the Savior. When are you going to do that?
As soon as possible.
You mean like today?
Like today.
Are you serious?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Can I pray with you?
Yes, you can, sir.
Thank you. Father, I pray for Justin. Thank you.
Okay, you can stop that. So my experience is the average person going to church has no idea what salvation means. They cannot explain the gospel message. They don't get it. You go to the average Christian and they still think you get to heaven by being a good person. Or you get to heaven because Jesus died on your your sins and you ask him into your heart. So most people, it never gets beyond that. You could go interview hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. And I would say to you that those who have really received Christ and really understand, see, Scripture tells us that he who is forgiven much loves much. And because we don't have the understanding of what the gospel is all about and what Jesus actually did for us, we're not able to share it with anybody else. People in the church I'm talking about can't share it with anybody else. They don't get it. And so the gospel becomes love, 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 love. You love everybody. You let everybody come into the church. You know, let's go to Romans 1 because Rich, my buddy Rich, said something to me yesterday that absolutely blew me away. I'm telling you, Rich, that was an epiphany for me. I got to find it here. From such turn away. Where is that, Rich? Do you remember? I'll find it here. Well, the Scripture tells us this. I'm trying to find it. I thought I would just be able to turn it on me. From such, turn away. Maybe that's in 2 Timothy. That's in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 3:5. I went to the wrong place, Jared. Pull that up there for me real quickly. Because I'd never made this connection in my mind. This know also, for 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud. He's describing sinful men, okay? Giving you the characteristics and signs of sinful men. Lovers of their own selves, women's march. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to their parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That was that march. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Look at this. It doesn't say, don't be like them. Be careful when you're around them. It says, from such, turn away. Boy, is that a sermon. What does the church do? Church says, embrace them. Welcome them in. Love on them. Love them. No. That would be good. See, that's a different gospel, and it makes us feel good. But the writer of 2 Timothy, Paul, said, turn away from them. Turn away from them. We want to embrace them. We want to bring, dare I say it, without natural affection, the high-minded lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. We want to bring them into the church. So, well, brother, they're just acting like sinners. Well, that is true. But it's our job to get them saved before we bring them into the fellowship of the saints. You think I'm wrong? Does anybody think I'm wrong? Should we be sitting in church with unsaved people? Is that what's supposed to be going on? When the scripture very clearly says, turn away from those kind of folks. Turn away from them. Turn them off. Close the door on them.
You don't have to sit in church with people that don't believe. You walk around the streets. That's where it's at.
That's where they are.
And the gathering is for those that believe so that they may be strengthened in what they believe.
That's the message, Michael, but is that the message of the church? No, the message of the church is go get them all out and bring them all in here. Huh? And love them. Love them. And that's okay. It's okay, but that's not what Paul said. Yes.
Coach, you know what? The church has been feminized. And we've been taught for years that the church is the bride of Christ. We're the body of Christ. Christ is masculine, therefore the body's masculine.
Yep.
But this love stuff has become a woman's feminine message.
It has, brother. It has. And so we saw men in the parade on Saturday walking, dainty men walking with their bossy women. Give me a thumbs up, anybody that saw that. Dainty men walking in support of their bossy women. And we think that's the gospel. Rich, I'll never forget it. From such turn away. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Don't have anything to do with it. And that may mean separating from some people that you call your friends. It may be drawing a line and saying, listen, I love you and you're my friend. Well, I can't have anything to do with that. I got to turn that away. You know what Rich told me yesterday? They said, this is Rich, I should turn this whole show over to you because it was so powerful. You say, well, how can you reject them? If your son comes to you and tells you that he's a homosexual, how can you reject him? Easy. He rejected me. He rejected me and my values. He's the one that rejected it, not me. When he rejected it, scripture says what? Turn away from him. Well, that's hard, isn't it? That is really, really hard. From such, turn away.
That is true.
Brother, that is more true than you even know.
And it's not about who it is. It is about what they are. It's that criteria right before from such, turn away. And we can look at that. We see them right marching right down the street. Man.
We
rebuke them. We don't love them people. We can't. I mean, we don't love them like you and I have love.
No.
I didn't want to invite one of them people back to the camp with us.
And we wouldn't have let them in if you had.
Church with them. They'd have said, come on back and have dinner with them.
Church would have had a bus and loaded them up and brought them all back. Now, see, I'm not talking about evangelism. We're not talking about evangelism here. He's talking about those that you associate with. Paul is not talking about the lost world. He's talking about those you associate with have nothing to do with them. Turn away from such, turn away. If they are doing this stuff, if you're hanging them around them and they're lovers of their own selves and they're covetous and they're boasters and they're proud and they blaspheme, they're disobedient to their parents and they're unthankful and they're unholy and they're without a natural affection, they're truce breakers and false accusers and incontinent and fierce and despisers of those that are good and they're traitors and heady and high-minded and lovers of pleasure, more lovers of God. They seem to have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of God to come inside them and change their life, get rid of all that sin. Hey, don't fellowship with him. Turn away from him. From such, turn away. Rich, I had an epiphany of epiphanies there when you told that one to me. I got some emails. From some of the cards we handed out. Hey, Coach, one of the people there gave me a card and said that you said that God doesn't love everybody. Could you expound on that? So there we go. Right? Planting some seeds. Sure, I said, sure. Send him a link. Here's it. Watch this video. Tell me what you think when you watch this video. So we got a job ahead of us, and we're not going to do it with the power, without the power of the Holy Spirit. Got a minute left. Somebody bring it home here.
Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit.
Amen, brother.
We've seen ours and we've seen theirs, and they were in direct opposition to one another.
Yeah. Romans 8:14 pretty well sums up everything you said today, Coach. It says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. If you're a child of God, you're led by His Spirit. If you're not led by His Spirit, you ain't one of us.
You cannot be walking in a women's lib parade and be filled with the Holy Spirit. You can't. You just can't. You can't, because women's liberation is the violation of the laws of God. It's turning God's order on its head. They're making bad people, but they're deceived, not saved. Yes, Sarah?
I was just going to say, godly women are powerful women.
You'll see my wife. Powerful women. Powerful women. And she's strongest when she's cooking chicken for Rich and the boys when they come over, when she's exercising her gift. Mm-hmm. Powerful woman. Powerful woman. Time's up, man. I appreciate you all tuning in. I'm going to tell you, I just want to touch those little buttons that nobody else will touch. And as I told you before, I don't know all the truth. I'm seeking it. And hopefully together, the Lord's going to guide us into all truth. The Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. God bless you. Share this with somebody. We'll see you tomorrow.